Good morning. How is everybody? Just really, I want to first thank you guys. For many of us missionaries that live overseas, a lot of people sell everything and they don't own too much, but the backpack that's on their backs. And when we come here in the summertime, it's really, really just great to have a place where we can come and relax and receive and be loved. And it really means so much to us. And also, it means a lot to our churches, actually. I don't know how much you know, but, there are now people in China watching live messages, listening to Pastor Schaller and Shabelli, their classes. And their lives are being changed because of your faithfulness here. So really, just thank you so much. So let's have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this day. Thank you for these words we're about to hear. We ask that your Spirit will speak to us. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, two verses, one starting in Luke chapter 9. I really think this passage is very interesting because Jesus has his disciples and he spends so much time with them. But oftentimes we read the disciples' story and it seems like they miss the mind of God, right? Like they're having a lot of fun following Jesus because he is a great man. He's a great leader. He's doing amazing things. And when he speaks, there's power and there's life. And if you think about the disciples, they would say, of course, we're going to follow him. You know, this man is amazing. But after all the words and things that Jesus says, they often miss so much. So here in Luke chapter 9, verse 54 and 55, and when Jesus and when his disciples, James and John, saw this, they said, Lord, do you want us to command fire to come down from heaven and consume them, just as Elijah did? But he turned and rebuked them and said, you do not know what manner of spirit you are of. For the Son of Man, verse 56, did not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them. And they went on to another village. Now let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. The very last verse. Verse 16. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. You know, I was reading this verse last week and I really thought it was amazing because there are two very opposite things here. One is that we know the mind of God and we try to instruct him. And the other one is that we are having the mind of God. And there it is so different. And I was just amazed at how we can study the Bible, how we can follow God, how we can even be a disciple, but we miss the mind of God. And we begin to think that we have God's, that we begin to think that we know God's mind. You know, and we begin to speak for God, and we begin to act for God, and we begin to represent God, but in the wrong way. You know, and it's just like what the disciples did here. They go, oh, we know what Jesus is thinking. We've read the Old Testament. We know exactly what Jesus is thinking. So let's call fire down from heaven and consume all these people who are rejecting him. Has anybody ever felt like that sometimes when you're talking to somebody? Talking to your boss, maybe, or talking, you know, even soul winning, we can get so angry because of somebody who is rejecting the Lord. And we say, good, they deserve that. I just think it's so amazing when we do that. And another verse that's been on my heart is James chapter 1, verse 20. The wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God. Here I am. I'm a believer. I'm a Christian. I follow God a lot, or I follow God a little, and I begin to think I know exactly who God is, and I begin to speak for him, and I walk around and I'm judging people. You know, being in China, you begin to see that people don't need to be judged. And if you open your eyes and you take your eyes off yourself, you begin to see that what people need is not judgments. They don't need correction. They don't need me to take a little rod and lead them like the sheep. What they need is they need Christ. What they need is they need the love of God. And the mind of Christ is not something, we were talking about this yesterday in the car driving home, the mind of Christ is something that I cannot manufacture. The mind of Christ is not something that I can produce. Because when I produce the mind of Christ, I begin not to love, but I begin to judge. And then I begin to think, okay, I am instructing God. This is what God should do here. Judge them. Take care of them, God. Clean up their life. Do this, do that. And the whole time I'm forgetting about who I am. That actually I am the same as them. I'm a filthy sinner, and I would be nothing without the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen? Yeah, the mind of Christ is not something we produce. It is something that we receive. And when we receive the mind of Christ, what happens immediately is we begin to understand what real love is. You know, so many of us have a problem receiving. You know, in Asia, there's a culture about receiving. And when you go to a restaurant, there's often a fight. You know, who's going to pay for the food? And actually, sometimes it gets very, very violent, actually. I've seen old people, you know, pushing each other, trying to pay for the bill. And actually, one time, me and my wife, you know, this is a really funny story. We were out with this young couple and their son. And we knew that this culture was happening, so we decided that we are going to beat the culture. And we are going to be smarter than the culture. So we're at the restaurants, and we're going to pay for the bill. So I slip my wallet to my wife under the table. And my wife gets up, and she says, well, you know, excuse me, I have to use the bathroom. So she gets up and she goes the opposite direction of the bathroom and she goes to pay for the bill. And I'm trying to distract the couple in front of me, you know, talking and entertaining them. And all of a sudden, he turns his head. He sees my wife at the counter and he runs. He gets up and he looks at me with these eyes and then he runs. And those of you that know my wife, she's not, you know, a large person. And he goes up to my wife and tackles her. Literally tackles her and would not allow us to pay for the bill. But here's the interesting thing. We don't have this culture, you know, in America. Somebody says, you'll pay for us. We just say, absolutely, thank you. But both cultures speak something about human nature, right? Human nature is that we have a difficult receiving something. Why do we have a difficult time receiving? Because we have something deep in our hearts that believes that we are unworthy. And I have to earn what I receive. And if I don't earn what I receive, then I can't take it. I'm not worthy of it. I can't function in it. And we are brought up this way ever since we are a little child. You know, you are good, you get your cookie, you get your gold star in school. If you do your chores, you get your allowance. Everything is evolved about how we respond to authority, how we respond in obedience to those that are above us. And we enter into our relationship with God, and we begin to think the exact same way, that if I am obedient, then I will receive something. So I come to church, I pray, I open my Bible, all amazing things. I go soul winning, amazing things. But the nature, the motivation behind these things is that I am trying to produce the mind of God. When the whole time I am missing the whole point. That God doesn't want me to act. God doesn't want me to do something that in my own flesh. He wants me in my spirit to receive the Spirit of God. And when I receive, it's also here in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, when I receive the Spirit of God, the Spirit begins to speak through the deep things of my spirit. Isn't that beautiful when that happens? And instead of like a religion being propagated, we are actually starting to commune and we begin to fellowship in a relationship with each other in the Spirit of God. And then I have the mind of God, and then I am able to receive, and I say, yes, amen, I am not worthy to receive this thing. I am not worthy to receive the mind of God. I am not worthy to receive the love of God. but I have it. I have received it. And that is the amazing thing about Christ, is that each and every single one of us, we will never measure up to the standard of God without Jesus Christ's blood. And each and every one of us have received the mind of God. Each and every one of us have received the heart of God. We received a new heart. And God is saying to us this morning, like, I want you to function in that mind. The way that I am thinking about you in redemption, the way that I am rethinking about you in adoption, the way that I am thinking about you and who you are because of what I have done, that's how I want you to begin to function towards others. That's how I want you to function to your neighbor. That's how I want you to function to, you know, your spouse. That's how I want you to function in the church. That's how I want you to function as you evangelize. You know, sometimes we are here and we are asking God, when are you going to come? When are you going to justify us and what we believe and what we are doing? And the answer is that maybe God doesn't want to justify us. But he wants to give people another opportunity to receive something from him. You know, a lot of people have conceptions about who God is. A lot of people have conceptions about Christianity. And, you know, I'm not here to condemn anyone, but in China, there are many people who, and their conceptions are derived not through love, but through improper, you know, acting improperly. And they say, I don't want to be a Christian because of this. I don't want to follow God because of this. You know, and that is, I don't actually know what I mean by that, but I want to say this, is that we have received something so beautiful from God. And this church is a testimony to that. You know, the souls in China, they are testimonies to that. You know, the people that are listening to Romans class, you know, in Chinese, are testimonies to that. That we have received something beautiful. And God is saying, you don't know what spirit you're of. You don't know what kind of mind you have. You don't know what kind of heart you have. Receive my heart, receive my mind, and function in that way. And you will not be condemning and judging people, but you will be saving people. There are thousands of people that need saving, amen. There are thousands, millions of hearts that are broken. And they need God. And how do they receive God? But through us. We are a tool to really testify on who God is. So let us just think about that. Let us receive God's thoughts for us, God's mind for us, and then let's give those thoughts to others. Amen. So Heavenly Father, thank you for these words. We pray that we will receive the mind of God. We will stop trying to produce the life of God, stop trying to produce the mind of God, but that we will start living in the finished work, that we will start living in what you have done in our lives. Lord, we thank you so much. In Jesus' name, amen.
Okay, this is the offering. Just a quick word. Paul exhorted Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 6 to withdraw from those who use godliness as a means of gain. And then he said in the next verse, but what is true gain? It's godliness with contentment. And the offering is an amazing opportunity to have the Lord put things in perspective in our minds as to what true gain really is. Isn't it him? Isn't it ministry? Isn't it him showing us this life that comes from Calvary? Let's pray for this offering. Father, please, may we not ever be tricked by Christian merchandise, anything that has your label but doesn't have your heart and your mind. Lord, I just pray that with our decision now, with our tithes and our offerings, you would be blessed in it, Father, and you would be in it. Show us what true gain really is, godliness with contentment. May this offering be an overflow of thanksgiving from all you've done for us. You're our God. Bless this now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This is also a missions offering. So for the missions in our church, I just encourage you to place some money in the baskets as well as they go around. Thank you.
Thing to give away, the last thing on your mind today, it always goes to those who don't deserve. It's the opposite of how you feel when the pain they've caused is just too real. It takes everything you have to say the word forgiveness. Forgiveness. Flies in the face of all your pride, it moves away the mad inside. It's always anger's own worst enemy. Even when the jury and the judge say you've got a right to hold a grudge, it's the whisper in your ear saying set it free. Forgiveness. Forgiveness. The bitterness away, it can even set a prisoner free. There is no end to what its power can do. So let it go and be amazed by what you see through eyes of grace. The prisoner that it really frees is you. Forgiveness. Forgiveness. Impossible.
All right, please stand. And if you would talk to someone and say, I would like to share my faith. I would like to learn how to share my faith.
Another question. I'd like to learn to share my faith. That is one question we can share with each other. I would like to learn to share my faith. I'd like to grow in love and care about other people. I'd like to learn, I'd like to grow and be a the salt and light of the world. I would like that. And that's what we're going to share this morning. So before you sit down, would you turn to a few places? First of all, 2 Kings chapter 5. Pastor Dennis gave us a good word this morning.
Yes, sir.
Yes, China. I want to go there and eat in a restaurant and let somebody else pay the bill. That's what I like. I like that idea. So we have Lajos' sister, right? Lajos' sister with us from Hungary. Good to have you. Yeah, great. All right, 2 Kings 5, verse 2. The Syrians had gone out by companies and had brought away captive out of the land of Israel. Say this part with me. A little maid. A little maid. A little girl. Young girl. And she waited on Naaman's wife. So this is north of Israel in the country, the kingdom of Syria. And there was a... They invaded Israel, took a little girl, young girl, maybe 15, 14, who knows how old she was, and took her as a slave. And then, but she had a message, verse 3. Read this together with me. And she said unto her mistress, would God, my Lord, were with the prophet that is in Samaria, for he would recover him of his leprosy. And one went in and told his Lord, saying, thus and thus said the maid that is in the land of Israel. I want you to notice one simple thing here, that she was not an apostle. She was not a pastor. She was not a mighty person. She did not weigh 200 pounds, probably. I can't prove that. She was a young girl, but she had a message. Sowed the seed. The man went down to Israel, met, and Elijah healed him, and he went back home. A true story. You can read the whole story there when you want to. Okay, then turn to Luke 19, please. Luke chapter 19. Verse 1. And Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. You could read it with me. Verse 2. Behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was the chief among the publicans, and he was rich. And he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and could not for the press, because he was little of stature. And he ran before, climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up, saw him, and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste, come down, for today I must abide at your house. And he made haste, came down, received him joyfully. When they saw it, they all murmured, saying that he was gone to be guest with a man that is a sinner. And Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor, and if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. And Jesus said unto him, This day is salvation come to this house, for as much as he also is a son of Abraham. Here's the part, 10, verse 10. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. Wow. Okay, you may be seated. Point number one in our three-point message today is you and your life in Christ, your growth, your future, your blessing, your usefulness, God's plan with you and with me. I believe that there are believers in the world that have never been taught or challenged in this area of their life. I believe there are believers that sit in churches today and do not ever have it in their mind that they will go out on the street or go into their neighborhood with a sole purpose of thinking about people and in their heart loving them to the point of opening their mouth and sharing a word in season. It is for that reason, and I know that we are a very active church, and often many, many believers here have been doing it all their Christian life. And I think many of us would say, it has added a lot to my heart. Paul Bouchard, I called him yesterday, he's one of the brothers here that takes the van out and picks up people up in Middle River and Essex area, and he brings them here to the church. And I was at the Sam's Club, Walmart area, Golden Ring yesterday, just sitting there looking at people crossing the parking lot, thinking and praying and talking to people, sowing the seed, fishing. And I saw one man there, and we talked for a minute. He didn't have a car, so he was waiting for his taxi. And I said, would you like to come to the church? I got his name and number, called Paul, and he returned the call. And maybe that brother, that man is here, I'm not sure. Or comes later, or when, whatever it is. But I said to Paul, how is it going? He said, I was picking up some young guys, and a woman came out of her apartment and said, are you like Big Brother or something? You're picking up people in the van. Are you a Big Brother? He said, yes, in a way, I'm from the church. And she said, could you take my son? And he said, yes, I could. I can bring him to the church. And then she said, you know, my son is a Muslim because his father is a Muslim. And they had a little bit of talk. Well, then I need to check with the father and see if it's okay. So they talked to the father, and he said, yes, it is okay. He needs it. Then the woman said, shared something confidential, which I won't share, of course. But I thought about it. Paul Bouchard bringing young people, like happens a lot with us, and what it means to love people. What it means to think about where they are at, what it means to think about how maybe something will happen that comes from God. Maybe it will not. I do not know. I was at Sam's Club. There was a woman there. She needed a ride. She came up to me and said, could you drive me home? Pastor Mike Plunkett was with me, with a Lua, our Chinese disciple brother. And we talked to this woman a little bit. Pastor Plunkett and Lua drove her to her home 5 minutes away or 10 minutes away. And I just saw people in trouble. Almost like everywhere I turned, I saw people struggling in different ways. You know how it is when you see people. When Jesus came into the world, I want to read this part from Oswald Chambers. He said, "Our Lord was never impatient. He simply planted seed thoughts in their minds and surrounded them with the atmosphere of his own life. He did not attempt to convince them, but left mistakes to correct themselves, because he knew that eventually the truth would bear fruit in their lives. How differently we would have acted. We would get impatient, take men by the scruff of the neck, and say, 'You must believe this and that.' You cannot make a man see moral truth by persuading his intellect. When he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth." What do you need and I need for my spiritual growth? But I need, we said Wednesday night, three things, and I'll just repeat them this morning. I need to learn to walk by faith. I think there are people that are afraid of people. The other day, I'm walking by a couple in the parking lot and at one of these places, and I said, "Hi, good morning, how are you?" And they just turned the other way and looked in the other direction. And I thought, boy, there's some issue. I don't know what, I'm friendly, you know, I could expect it to be returned. But I don't know why they acted that way, but I just followed it up, and I just said, "May I give you an invitation?" And the woman said, "Greater grace." "Are you greater grace?" And they changed. They did. And I mean, they were now, you know, there was a communication, and we spent 5 or 10 minutes with them. They're very sweet people. Your growth is an issue of faith. You might say, "Well, I believe in God," but does your faith, does it also lead you to look for Zacchaeus by faith, who is up in the tree? By faith? Do you believe when you get up in the morning, can you say a prayer to God, something along the lines, "Lord, maybe this week you will have Zacchaeus for me up in the tree"? And that he is so much seeking for you. His eyes, he's sharp. This guy is small, but he's smart and he's rich and he's very capable and he knows how to get things done. I want to see Jesus and I know how to do it. From my understanding, he's walking this way. If I get up on that tree, I will see him. There are people like that in this world that are looking for you and me. They're looking, they're waiting. "Do you have something to say to me that is more than sports, weather, and talk and politics and whatever other stuff that people talk about every day? Do you have something?" It's a life of faith when we pray and we say, "Lord, open my eyes that I could see the world around me and help the people that are around me." First impressions of being resisted are not any indicator of anything necessarily. People that are indifferent or saying, I don't care, I'm not interested, that's fine. Those may be good indicators of something going on in the heart. I've told this story before, preaching in Finland one summer at a Lutheran church. This Lutheran priest was a friend of ours, and he opened his church up on Friday nights for our meetings. And I am in Porvo, Finland, and I preached there. One girl, I had been in the public school maybe 6 months earlier, and this girl, 15-year-old high school student, stood up and said, you believe in Adam and Eve? And then she just stormed out of the room, like indignant. Well, I was in this Lutheran church that Friday night, preached a message. After I went down the stairs, walked to the back, this girl's walking right towards me, and I recognized her. And she just opened her arms like this. I said, did you become a believer? She said, yes. Yes. And we just had I was amazed. One day, they don't like it. Another day, they're looking for it. On one day, they don't care. On another day, they care very much. At one time, they have no interest. At another time, interest is growing. Faith. That's the one word for you and I. If you are not going to open your mouth and share your faith with somebody, and I'm not saying it by way of, I'm just trying to help you and all of us in what it is that we believe, then it might be you are distracted in your life by the pressures and the cares that are in this world. That Jesus wants to be with you in the secret place of prayer and praise and faith, and put words in the Spirit, processing answers to big questions in your heart and mind, so that the righteous study to answer. And then we have a word in season to him that is weary. The second thing about you and me is wisdom. Wisdom, like, I don't know the answer to that question, but I can go home and study it. I don't know the answer to that question, but I understand it. I think it is a good question. I could find out the answer. I could ask a pastor or another believer. I could bring it up in a rap session. But wisdom is part of what we grow in. I would imagine it just has to happen that we have faith, the faith, wisdom, growing in wisdom and understanding, so that it is in the heart and in the mouth. Proverbs 16, 21, the wise in heart shall be called prudent, and the sweetness of the lips increases learning. The heart of the wise teaches his mouth, and adds learning to his lips. Pleasant words are a honeycomb, sweet to the soul, health to the bones. In 17 Proverbs, excellent speech becomes not a fool, much less do lying lips a prince. He that has knowledge spares his words, and a man of understanding is of an excellent spirit. Even a fool, when he holds his peace, is counted wise. He that shuts his lips is esteemed a man of understanding. Then lastly, 18:4, the words of a man's mouth are as deep waters, and the wellspring of wisdom is a flowing brook. A man's belly shall be satisfied with the fruit of his mouth. And with it, it reminds us of Jesus at the well when they said, Master, do you have anything to eat? He said, I have meat to eat you don't know of. It is a man's belly shall be satisfied with the fruit of his mouth, and with the increase of his lips shall he be filled. If I don't talk to people about my faith, how will I know what are the big questions that people have about the faith? If I'm not resisted, how will I have an answer like Stephen? It said they could not resist his wisdom nor his spirit. But how do I get this but being in the fellowship? The third word is love. Your love increases in your walk of faith. Loving yourself, loving others, loving people you don't know. How many people only love five people in their world? Five relatives, five friends, seven relatives. How many people only love only a certain group of people in the church and so on? But all, we grow. Growing, as being sanctified, increasing, sharing, reaching out, going beyond the borders, going to the next town, going to the next village. This summer, we go on summer harvest in Europe and Asia, 31 different cities. And we're just going to go out by faith. But also Brooklyn, New York this summer, upstate New York this summer, Toronto and Montreal, and here in Baltimore, and to be blessed of God this summer on the Eastern Shore, along the ocean, where people are vacationing or spending time. Jesus said, I came to seeking, meaning not just stumbling upon them, but actually looking. Not everybody on the elevator, I don't witness to everybody on the elevator and every elevator, not in every cafe or every sidewalk, but seeking, looking. Listening, the downhearted, the brokenhearted, the troubled, the devastated, the depressed, the rich people, that often many people don't talk to them, the rich people in this world, that with the nice cars and the big, you know, the big golfing things and are they big? They're removed from maybe others. But they are all around. And to be kind, approach them by faith. I'm going to talk to this guy by faith. You never know. You find a woman. She may be rich, but she's home by herself, drinking, lost in her sorrow, lost with a broken heart, and she needs somebody like you or me to care about her, to sit with her, to seek, to be a seeker, to have our eyes open, to think about it. We're very relaxed about it, but I cannot live without it. I'm very relaxed about it, but I want to be here and be with this in mind. And this is our second point of what I want to share. And it is this. I am not a track. Incarnated a four-point track that I'm just giving out this information. We are loving, listening, I have a message, I can go through it right away very quickly. 4 points of 4 spiritual laws. That's part of my understanding and part of my background. But also there's something about the wisdom that God has put in your heart, that you're able to hear and listen. A lot of soul winning is asking questions and listening, because they don't know you and you don't know them. Like, how is your family? Or if they want to talk, then they, and many people do, and they want to talk. And, you know, you ask those kind of questions and they could get to know you. And you just say someplace in the time, the process, I this is all, if it's real for you, you can say, I got to tell you what happened to me. I've got to tell you. I have to share with you something very important. I've got to point, you see, because I am a believer in Christ. That's all that it is. That's what it is. It's touching somebody. If it does, it may not. Many people, they might say, oh, I know who you are, I know what you are saying, or I know, or I believe, and so on. And we know this is like part of fishing. The fish swim past the hook. They are not in the net. They are the fish outside of the net. But the net can't stay in the boat. The net has to go out in the water. The net has to go to the university campus. It has to go out to the marketplace. The net has to be out in the places of concourse and traffic. And the net needs to be out there in a place where people are. God is seeking. God is saving. God is sowing the seed. And God gives seed to the sower. Isn't that a great idea? I'm sowing like this. The little bucket is empty. Canvas bag is empty. No more seed. What does the Lord do? Give seed to the sower. If you're going to sow the seed, then he's going to give you seed. He's going to give seed to the sower. If I live by faith, he's going to give to me what I need. I'm out here by faith. We are in this world for this reason, to fill God's house in Luke 14. And to make my summer a summer of growth, where I will not be the same at the end of the summer, I guarantee you. If you hear what it is that God has to say to you and you walk by faith in it, you will not be the same at the end of the summer. Your faith increases, your wisdom increases, and your love increases. Get out of it. Get out of yourself. Get off the couch. Get out of the car. Get on the move. Go to the church. Hear something that challenges you in faith. Get out in the marketplace with a tract and say, I've never done this before. This is good for you. This is good for you. Are you uncomfortable? Yeah. I want to see you squirming. It's not comfortable for you. That is good for you. Because that means that the only way to get through it is by faith. And when you start listening and loving people, it's very easy. Now, we do it every day anyway. When you go to Walmart and you buy something, you're not nervous about it, are you? You go to Dunkin' Donuts and buy a coffee. You're not nervous about that, are you? You go to the garage and get your car fixed. You're not nervous about that, are you? Or getting on a bus or somewhere. Are you nervous about it? No, but when you talk about God, that's when you start getting, what? What? They'll think I'm crazy. Well, they might think you're crazy if you don't. They are perishing and you're letting them go. They are lost and they're looking for somebody with another message. They are hurting and you don't care about them. They're in a nursing home by themselves. There's a nursing home not far from where I live, and there are people there that no one visits them. No one, they've told us. I have no one. No one even knows I'm here. I have no friend. I have no relative. I have no one, only you. Imagine. What do you mean? You are at the bottom of the barrel. If Lisa is one, Rita is another that goes there. We've heard those stories. And heartbroken hearts. Amazing. Okay. So, growth. Point number one. Back to that. Just growth. We're going to move. Finish. Growth. I want you to grow. I want you to squirm and learn how to live and get beyond it and get going in your faith and in love. There is no pressure here. Nobody's analyzing it. We're only saying it to inspire and encourage people in our mission. If you have a mission, you'll have something happening that is just absolutely beautiful. Beautiful feet. Let me read a couple of things. You are stewards of the mysteries of God. Defenders of the faith. You are specially protected by God. You have an excellency about you. Romans 10:15. Your labor is not in vain. God gives the increase. It is pure, like blessed feet. Isaiah 52:11. Holy, humble, patient, blameless, willing, impartial, gentle, devoted, strong in grace, self-denying, sober, hospitable, apt to teach, studious and meditative, watchful and prayerful. Wow. Charles Spurgeon said he would go to the market, and he'd sit at the market, set up a little stool there, and he'd watch people buying and selling and everything. Then he would go to the cemetery, and he'd just sit there in the cemetery, and he'd start to weep. And he'd say, everyone I saw in the market is going to be here. Everybody alive today is going to be here soon. God, give me a burden for people. Oh, God, help me be a minister that is faithful. Help me be a minister that is loving. Help me understand what is going on. Well, we don't have a market, but we got Walmart and Sam's Club parking lot. And I sat there the other day thinking of the same thing. These precious people, these people that play the lottery, these people that have $18 in their pocket, these people that take taxis to get home with their chips and sodas and whatever food they buy, and they have problems with diabetes and health problems and family problems and everything. And then we just say, Lord God Almighty, our nation needs salt and light. Oh God, send the Holy Spirit and save and touch people and motivate them, not only to become believers, but also to be in a church like this one where they get a message with some teeth in it. A message that gives me an antibiotic for the poison that is out there in the world. Give me a message that will build me up and make me feel like I have value. I'm a messenger. I got a message in my heart. I've got the grace of God in my life. God, help me. Lead me. Who cares about the past? We got the present. I mean, we're celebrating the birth of our nation. I'm happy about it. And I know a lot about it. And I love it. It's beautiful. But think about it. God put us here now. Now is the time. God put us here. Let's do something about it. Let's not just mope around and complain about our country. Let's go reach the kids. Let's bring in a van load. Let's teach them. Let's make disciples. Let's have our Bible college active and fervent and engaged and on the street. I say in Europe when I'm over there, I say, I'm not a pastor who became a theologian. I'm a pastor that became a street pastor. I am a street pastor. That's my title. That's my honor. I'm on the street. I'm a street pastor. I've got enough theology to get out on the street and bring the message of Christ. I got enough theology to make a disciple. I got enough theology to open up my home and have a Bible study and train them to do the same thing that we do, that I do, that we do. I wish, O King Agrippa, that everybody that heard me was like me, except, could you take these chains off? Except these chains. What a great thing. Third and last thing. The results of our labor are incredible. That young man who got in the van and came here and is learning the doctrine. Our young school Sunday school program with 500 children in it, with a dedicated staff of amazing people that are very kind, very loving, very godly, and have a great program. That is incredible value. The young guys like Dennis White, who goes across the world to China to bring a message of Christ, the results are incredible. And like that little girl, she didn't know what she was doing exactly, but she knew. She said, oh, if he would get in front of the prophet down there, he would heal him. And they go, what did she say? Yeah, there's a guy down there. He's the real thing. If he could just get down there, yeah, Elijah would heal him. Well, he went. He went. That's all we need. Somebody up in Philadelphia to be on the street. Oh, if you just only got down there to greater grace, you'd be okay. That idea. Meaning, all you need is Jesus Christ. You come into the presence of God, the hills and the mountains melt away like wax. Get in the presence of God. He will take care of you. He will bring peace dropping slowly, little by little, to your tortured, regretful, depressed soul. God will bring peace. God will save you. God will encourage you. There are people here that are doing amazing. Wilson Lippi, Bill Ensor is doing it with the Wounded Warriors. There are people that are taking this and doing something. There are people that are saying, I don't have time for this or that. I'm on a mission. God is with me in it, in my heart. And I'm not backing off from it. I enjoy it and I know what it means. And then won't it be amazing one day when you go to heaven, you're with God. God will say, well, you did get in trouble, didn't you? You did mess up quite a bit, didn't you? No, I don't think he's going to say that. But we know it. But he's going to say, well done, my good and faithful servant. While you were sleeping, I gave life to that seed in Mark 4. I gave life to that seed. People were saved by my grace. I saved them. You sowed the seed and left town. But you sowed the seed and I gave life to that seed. While you were sleeping, it grew up and it didn't know how. But by and by, it grew up and you know not how. Thank you, God, that you incorporated us into this life of faith. Thank you, God, it takes wisdom to get into it and do it. And then thank you, God, your love will lead us in it. And even when we cool off, back up, get tired, whatever it may be, we know where to go. We know how to relate to you. And we believe you will help us so that not only will we start well, but we'll also finish well. Would you pray with me, please? Lord, I thank you for these young guys that are also not afraid to open their mouths. The Federal Hill Group, Charles Hadley, the people that are learning, growing, Nathan McFarland, the men, women's ministry, the soul winners on Saturday mornings, and just every single one that is here. And I'm just speaking to people, not only that we do this, but also those that have never gotten to that point to open their mouth and say the name of Christ in a meaningful and relevant way to somebody who is starving and needy. And then if you are here this morning, have never accepted Christ, today is the day for you to put your trust in Him. This is a spiritual birthday day for you. Say, Jesus Christ, I trust in you. I ask you to save me and take all my sin away. The balance is in the hand of the Lord. How God uses us to minister. Sometimes it is soft, sometimes very compassionate and fervent, sometimes very strong. God, the weight of the bag is in the hand of the Lord. And today is the day for you to say yes to Christ. Say, Jesus, I believe in you. And then raise your hand. The ushers will give you a booklet. We rejoice in it. Raise your hand, please, anyone. Say yes to Jesus. Yes to Jesus. Anyone? Thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.